morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone. Folks, welcome to Democratic Perspective. Steve Williamson here in the studio, and with me, Hava Derby.
Good morning.
And we'll be talking about QAnon, the second show. And on the phones, and we've got a conference call going, we have Gary LeMaster, who's done a lot of research on this, and Klaus-Von Studerheim. Are you guys there?
Yes. Good morning.
Okay.
Good morning.
All right. So I think that Gary has this brilliant outline, but I think what we have to talk about first is what happened in the Capitol. And what happened is that basically the QAnon has been stirring up this thing. There's a lot of other players besides QAnon. And it's sort of, I called it, the chickens coming home for roost. You have all this radical, crazy rhetoric, and finally it devolves into a real riot.
With incitement from our president.
And with incitement from our president. How to even face this? The Capitol has never been invaded like this since 1812.
When, and the Confederate flag has never flown inside, and it did Wednesday.
That's the Confederate battle flag they're running in there. Mm-hmm. Young woman is killed. She was shot by the police as she was climbing through a window, breaking into the Capitol. And I think we should talk a bit about her as an example of QAnon's radicalization and process. And I think that, and we'll see if Gary and Klaus agree with me, but she was an Air Force veteran. She had a very troubled career in the Air Force. Things just didn't kind of work. She left with about as low a rank as you could get after 10 years, 4 in the regular Air Force and 6 as a thing. Her business was failing. Her marriages are failing. She's been accused of sort of, that's not really road rage when she, if she rams her car into her husband's new wife's car. That's just, you know, anyway,
she was stalking. Yes.
Yeah. So she's a perfect example. And if you read her writings, and I know that Hava's listened to her, but you know, I have a, you know, her state of mind is astonishingly apocalyptic. Nothing will stop us, she says. They can try and try and try, but the storm is here. That's the QAnon storm. And it's descending on D.C. in less than 24 hours. Dark to light.
It doesn't get any more specific than that. The storm is coming, they've been saying for ages, and they stormed the Capitol. I mean, it's been in front of our faces for, you know, all of this anger and vitriol and taking back our country. It's been there under our noses. And I want to really also, too, as we're talking about Ashley and how that emotional excitement has led to this. And we can't forget that there are millions and millions of people that are disenfranchised and are angry, and that you had legitimate protesters out front, really tired of what's going on with our government. So, you know, we can talk about the radicalized people, but where do we go when we've got millions of people with legitimate concerns?
Yeah. Gary, what's your take on this? I mean, in times of trouble and confusion, and a lot of the rage, I think, is coming from the fact it's sort of pure capitalism. I mean, some people are benefited by the changes. If you're really good with technology, some people are deprived by it. If you're a manual worker, physical strength, stamina, courage of climbing down into a coal mine, all that stuff doesn't count like it used to. And so we see a lot of rage. But QAnon is a very peculiar thing, and As I understand it, the researchers and the scholars have pretty much figured out a lot of things about it. And many of the elements of it come straight from movies. Their slogan, "Where we go one, we go all," is from a movie, a Ridley Scott movie in 1996 called The White Squall. A lot of the other imagery is from The Matrix. I think Hava talked about that last week. Blue and Red Pill are the week before last. A whole bunch of the elements of it, the idea that powerful people, always Democrats, always liberals, always progressives, are engaging in satanic ritual abuse of children, comes from a scare back in the 80s. And I think Gary knows about this. It was a scare where they believed that all these satanic rituals were taking place in child care centers. And the first group of people in California were convicted, McMahon, something like that. And then there was another, and all of this rage and running around, there was never another conviction of anybody for anything. And it spread sort of like QAnon globally. In other words, it starts in the United States, and then the idea that there are satanic rituals and child abuse then spreads across the globe. And so you have what they're doing now, the scholars are pulling apart QAnon for all of its elements. And of course, there's several different terms for this. I call it a hyper-real religion. It's a religion, and we'll talk about this in a second. I'll open the discussion up. QAnon becomes a kind of religion. And I think Hava talked about it last week and Gary did. It becomes a kind of religion. And what it does is it grabs hold of all kinds of popular cultural artifacts and it integrates them into an ideological framework in a new way. So almost everything that can be found in films or in events and stuff right before this started. Gary, you want to talk a bit?
Well, I'd point out a couple of things. One is that this is no small movement. This is, I've got millions of followers in various stages of belief, but the movement has encompassed the Proud Boys, violent militias, Three Percenters, which is another violent group, white supremacists, neo-Nazis. And I would say, to a great extent, the Republican Party. I think, the Republicans have been QAnon adjacent for a long time. I was writing about their conspiracy theories going back to 2006, and I know they go well before that. And you have, people, and especially the West, the Sagebrush Rebellion, I would submit the Arizona legislature and congressional representatives from Arizona like Paul Gosar and Andy Biggs, who have been pushing these bizarre theories and this hatred of Democrats for many, many years. And it's all kind of built into what happened last Wednesday at the Capitol. And it's, it's encompassed the anti-vaxxers, the pharmacist who set out a box of vaccine in Wisconsin and destroyed, I forget how many doses of the COVID vaccine, is a QAnon follower and an anti-vaxxer. The man wearing the Q shirt who chased the cop up the stairway in the Capitol is a QAnon follower from Iowa. The guy wearing that horned fur hat is a well-known QAnon shaman.
Okay,
he calls himself.
I have to
from
just
Arizona.
Yeah,
been involved.
Gary, I have to interject here because I know this guy. He was out with us all summer. A real pain in the ass instigator, counter protester, very deep in Q. So this theory that he's Antifa is baloney.
Yeah, I saw that. They've tried pretty much everything, Gary, to deflect attention, haven't they?
But go ahead, Gary. You are on a great roll there.
Yeah, I think what we really need to understand is that this isn't over. QAnon is not going away anytime soon.
Trump said it out loud. This is the beginning.
They still believe that the Great Awakening is coming. And I circulated to you guys a video my wife found, or one of my wife's friends found on Parler, that is calling for the Great Awakening on Inauguration Day.
Yep.
And they intend to come armed. And to follow up on that, someone I know is in the Minnesota National Guard that's being deployed to D.C. Beginning this week and will be there until after the 20th. So this is far from over. And these people, although we've been told that this is garbage and it's a small, weird little movement, it is not.
No.
And it is highly, highly dangerous.
Yeah, I think that's the storming of the Capitol brought home to a lot of people. A lot of people like us who have been watching QAnon have always thought it was dangerous. This dangerous extreme rhetoric is often followed by action. I would trace this sort of hatred of liberals and Democrats back to Rush Limbaugh. Before that, conservatives and Democrats didn't think that much of each other, and they said some mean things about each other. But what Rush Limbaugh did, I think his innovation on radio was to demonize Democrats personally as sort of evil people. He did it somewhat subtly, and sometimes not fem Nazis he used to talk about.
I used to listen to his show. I agree with your theory.
Yeah, he brought a new level of Democrats, basically, and a lot of the rhetoric is very similar to anti-Semitic rhetoric in Germany, but also in the Soviet Union, where they talked about cosmopolitans. Well, Democrats and liberals are always cosmopolitans. They're not real patriots. And that motif, mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. Yeah. meme comes from the Soviet Union and from the Soviet Union's attack on intellectuals and Jews toward the end of the Stalin era. But that motif, that structure is built into Rush Limbaugh. So he changes things. He makes things very different. He demonizes Democrats. Klaus, did you have something?
No, I was thinking, I mean, one of the things we haven't talked about, and I was reminded about when Gary said a friend of his in the National Guard is going to go to D.C., is that how totally ridiculously unprepared the Capitol Police was, because none of this was a secret, right? I mean, it was...
They told senior Congress officials that they...
Everybody knew. I mean,
Capitol Police refused help.
So it's a mystery to me why they didn't employ more force. And I mean, if you're a real fan of conspiracies, you could say they actually didn't want to stop him. I mean, it almost seems like that because.
It was a shock to watch the police run away.
Any attention knew what was going to happen.
I think
one thing I'd like to point out too is that as we look at QAnon, the followers are one thing, but I think the real criminality of QAnon comes from people like Limbaugh and Alex Jones and Trump Jr. and Rudy and Mo Brooks, who spoke at the rally, there are people that are using this for their own benefit, either for power with the Republicans or with for monetary benefit, like Alex Jones, who has promoted every conceivable conspiracy theory you can think of for his own profit, for ratings and for. To sell his, bizarre products on air.
Aren't they saying this about the original? So we have 4chan, this board filled with a lot of hate stuff. And apparently they're saying now the research is showing that whoever Q, an anonymous patriot, was these three people picked out Q's post and blew them up and spread them and monetized them so that they're making a whole lot of money out of selling Q stuff and hits and all this kind of stuff. That's some of the new research. Is that right, Gary? That there was, this is basically three people who decided to take this post and blow it up and get it out there. And then it sort of took off in all kinds of bizarre ways.
Exactly. There was a woman who is a well-known blogger and had a YouTube channel that was one of the originators. There was a web producer from South Africa, and then there was another YouTuber that started this, picked it up, and expanded it through a variety of different avenues. Like, it began on 4chan, expanded to YouTube, went on to Reddit, where it really exploded, then went on to Facebook, where it brought in lots of older members or followers. Finally, it's been, kind of taken off of Facebook and YouTube and Twitter, but now it's on 8chan or 8kun, which can't be touched because it's hosted in Russia.
They might not last much longer in Parler either, with them being pulled off of Apple and Google.
Yeah, I think everybody has knows that they've taken the president off of Facebook and they've taken him off of Twitter. And that the large companies are trying to shut down Parler. Parler was where the extremists move when they begin to be shut down.
It's
on
mostly
Facebook.
Unmoderated.
Now, there's an issue of free speech, and I like everybody to be able to have their say, and I'm sure we can find a basis for that. But free speech extends to governmental actions. It doesn't have extend to private company. In other words, you can have a company like Twitter and have whatever rules you want to have, and people can participate in your company or not. Whether that's a good idea, that's the law now. And so I'm hoping, and I don't know if you, my colleagues here agree, I'm hoping that shutting down Trump, Hava, what do you think? Shutting down Trump, will this reduce the kind of thing that Gary is talking about, more and more violent?
No, I don't think it, no.
I think so.
You look at revolutions that happened without the internet. People will find a way to...
You take a megaphone. Sorry, you were saying something.
No, that's okay. Our country was born out of violence. Groups will find ways to come together. I don't think anything's going to be quelled by turning off people's social media platforms.
I think that what happens is we have something that's almost... Go ahead, Klaus.
Yeah, I disagree with Hava. I think you take away his megaphone, and suddenly, he can't possibly have the influence that he does. I mean, my personal theory is that by 2024, he'll be a nobody practically.
Well, we're going to see how this plays out.
Maybe, but there are people in Congress and high up in the Republican Party that are going to continue to promote this stuff.
You have
Mo Brooks, you have a QAnon member who's now a QAnon follower and proponent who's now a member of Congress. You've got a lot of others who are QAnon adjacent just to help build their power. So I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon.
No.
I think this is a good discussion, and I hear Klaus's point. I mean, they've taken away Trump's big megaphone, and he only has about a week in office now, a little over, and maybe that will quiet things down. There won't be as big a violent protest as been planned, right, for the inauguration, plus the National Guard and the police and everybody is there.
Aren't we just doing this online? And we've done everything online for the last year. Can't we hold our inauguration online this year? I mean, I'm being silly, but you know, we know what's coming.
You know. No, you can't. You can't.
I know. I'm being silly.
Really diminish people's sense of Biden's legitimacy. You can't do that,
Dave. There's a whole lot of stuff going on behind the scenes in terms of trying to cripple the Biden's presidency before it even starts, and make it seem illegitimate. To take probably the fairest American election in history and begin a campaign that the election was illegitimate. So when I look at those protesters, if they had been actually robbed by all kinds of miscreants everywhere, and Donald Trump really run the election and it was stolen from them, then they would be that angry. And that's what they believe. In other words, it's very sad, and we should probably say her name, Ashley Babbitt. Yeah, we should say her name. This gets people killed. QAnon and this extreme rhetoric, this divorce from reality, gets people killed.
They're willing to die for the cause.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that people, some of the guys went there, they said they were willing to die.
Richard Babbitt. Barnett. Richard Barnett, with his feet up on Pelosi's deck, was arrested. He was posting before the 6th that he was willing to die violently for the cause.
So we have a situation which first was the total failure of a police effort. And right now, people have been fired and need to be replaced. Behind the failures of the Capitol Police and the Sergeant of Arms, who are controlled of security for the two chambers, there's two Sergeants of Arms. There's a question about the FBI understanding the modern world. The FBI is out there looking for a concrete little conspiracy of like six guys, right, who are coming to, and they don't find it. And this is what they're saying, and they don't find it, but then they don't understand what's going to happen. It's like they're looking for the wrong thing. I don't know what's going on in the FBI, but
we're having an intelligence crisis.
It's an intelligence crisis, and we need to have, and I probably are younger people, to come in who understand social media and the internet and understand the whole logic, or they need to have some of these academics come in and explain to them how something as complex as QAnon and its interactions with other groups work, because they didn't get it at all. Mm-hmm. Right, Hava? They just didn't get it. They didn't prepare.
Right. And the FBI even said, we found no evidence other than peaceful protests planned for the 6th.
How could they do that?
In fairness to the FBI and others, who would have thought that our president and his attorney and Congress people and senators would be questioning the results of the election, mm-hmm. and questioning the very process of accepting the electoral votes. This was something that was incited and inflamed by a whole lot of Republicans and, mm-hmm. and at every level of government. And I think it shows how flawed our culture and particularly the Republican Party are. And I will say also that QAnon still believes that Trump will be inaugurated on the 20th.
Mm-hmm. And that the message from his speech was that, go ahead. I was just going to say that real quick, the message from his speech was that when he was going to help with a peaceful transfer of power, it was his own new administration and everything's going to be run very differently.
Exactly. And they think that the last video that Trump posted on Twitter before he was banned, in which he condemned the insurrection and conceded defeat. Mm-hmm. You'll notice that he never mentioned that Biden, yep. he just said the new administration. Yep. Yep. So it left open the fact that the possibility that it could be him. But QAnon believes and has been posting on Parler and elsewhere that 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 video was a deep fake, that he never actually did that.
Yeah. This is the real problem with QAnon, is that they take the ordinary surface of offense, which is usually what's happening. Usually, if you see somebody running down the road, they're running down the road. It's not some sort of illusion set up. It's actually just happening. Things are simpler than conspiracy people.
Well, did you hear what Q said? The latest drop was that Trump was going through Pelosi's laptop right now. And he was going to be sharing information. You know, some of these stories are going to be for months. We're going to be hearing these stories. Yeah, and that people have been arrested, and they're.
That's when I hadn't heard, Hava. I think that Gary's point was, this is not over. This is not over. The other thing is, just from the intelligence point of view, the United States in the old days staged riots and against embassies of people so they could get in there and loot it and pull out all kinds of information. We don't know if foreign actors were involved in these demonstrations in terms of, hey, this is a chance to really get some good information, grab a laptop, buy a laptop from one of these guys. I'm not saying it did happen. I'm saying we just don't know. And then there's a sort of a perfect opportunity for foreign intelligence people to send people in and grab a bunch of stuff. Whether they did or not, I don't know. Maybe the FBI will figure this out. But these kind of situations, the storming of the Capitol, of the White House or something like, yields a lot of information. And we know these laptops were stolen. They're probably just stolen by guys who steal laptops, I guess. I don't know. But
I think they all acted very surprised they'd gotten in at one point.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of look at them standing around looking at each other like, oh, my God, we got in. We're in. So it doesn't look very organized.
It doesn't look organized. And I'm not saying that any foreign actors were doing it as an organized thing. They're just like minor. There's like a couple of guys.
Yeah.
But I think Hav is right. I think they charged in there, and then they didn't know what they were looking for. They couldn't find the Congress. They were all hidden. They couldn't find people. This was an attack not on – and, you know, they could have smashed all that beautiful marble sculpture and stuff. They didn't do that. They messed
things
up.
You're reminding me of the know-nothings.
And wrecked some furniture. Yeah. But they didn't destroy the physically as much as they could. I think they wandered around looking for the congressional people.
They were. And you saw that guy with zip ties who's been arrested. I think they were going to set up their tribunal. They were going to, get as many officials as they could together. I think there was some plan to do that.
I think it was an attack on people, at least by some element. Remember, when we talk about this, this is a riot with a lot of different people, with a lot of different motives, coming from a lot of different groups. It's not a QAnon riot. It's one that they participated in. Gary, did you have something more on this?
I would go to your point that it's not over. I'm so appalled that the term patriot has become the meaning has become the opposite of the original meaning. These people are not patriots.
They're not.
They never have been. They're only out for their self-interest.
Mm-hmm.
And I will never accept the term patriot again as it applies to a Republican or any of these idiots.
one of the things that I found.
Go ahead.
That I found particularly scary was that there were people talking about they're going to shoot Democrats, right? They're going to actually kill Pelosi, and so it wasn't just go in there and smash a few things.
Mm-hmm.
Some people were actually intent on killing Democrats.
Probably still are.
They were going to hang Pence too.
Oh, yeah, there was a noose out by the reflective pool.
Yeah,
made out of media wire, by the way. If we look at what happened with the media that day, too, that's a whole huge piece of the enemy is the media. You saw what happened with them smashing equipment outside.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of journalists felt really, really threatened that day.
So when Trump got in trouble, he turned and the media was reporting how badly he was doing. Then he came up with this anti-media campaign. Trump's always very functional. I sometimes can't tell how ideological he is. I don't know whether he's anti-Semitic, or whether he just wants to use those old tropes in order to get power. In the same way, I don't know whether he believes anything at all. I sometimes just think it's, what is my interest? And then he doesn't care about anything else.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But this leads to these demonstrations. Yeah, I would just say there's a lot of different kinds of actors in this attack on the Capitol.
And like I said,
with a lot of different motives.
Yeah, and just good old, you know, well, I don't want to call them patriots. Excuse me, people out protesting for good reason too. First Amendment people out there that didn't have anything to do with the violence. You know, it's a lot of different people out there.
So we have this attack on the Capitol, and we. Pretty much everybody's seen it brewing except the people who are supposed to protect our Congress and our congressional activity. So the worst thing I see is I didn't see this, and I've been arguing with people on the internet, as terrorism. This is a mob attack. But what is really bad about it, it's aimed at shutting down a sort of sacred government function,
yeah, absolutely.
Which is the selection of the president by the
elector. To democracy.
It may be just a ritual, but they tried to shut that down, shut down that ritual, which means if they had succeeded, we wouldn't have a new president. You know, and if Trump's and pressure forget, has succeeded,
don't forget that over 100 congressmen, Republican congressional representatives, and senators continued to challenge the results of the election and the electoral votes after the invasion of the Capitol.
8 senators and 138 House Republicans.
I know. And two or three, I think three of the representatives, Republican representatives from Arizona, challenged Arizona's electoral
Congressman Swikert did as well.
And it's amazing because, you know, the people who are counting the votes in Arizona counties are a Republican here and a Democrat there. They're all sort of professionals. They're all just doing their job. They're not really working for a political party. They're working for the vote. So there's a problem sometimes in elections in Arizona, but there's never been anything that would affect the results, I don't think, as such.
Well, let's remember, this was set up for months ahead of time, calling into question the legitimacy of the election and voting. Trump did that for months beforehand. Nothing was surprising that the election was called a fraud, right?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think some people were just pulled into this, and they had no... They're not QAnoners. They're not anything to probably support Trump, but they're pulled into by a Republican generated theory coming from the Republican Party that the election was just false, right? Yeah. And that they
don't forget that before the 2016 election, Trump thought, you know, kept telling everyone that the elections were rigged, and he would accept the results only if he won.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he's been pushing this nonsense since 2015.
So where now? QAnon has predicted the storm that was supposed to be, at least in Ashley Babbitt's estimation, that was supposed to be on the 6th when they stormed the Capitol. And I think we all agree that this is not over, and that they believe that is still coming. I know from my relatives who are Jehovah's Witnesses that they keep changing when the end of the world is, and they don't leave the religion. You know, they just change
the date.
They change the date, and I'm thinking that's going to be QAnon. They're just going to change the date.
You know, also, too, I wanted to talk about, you guys, that I found in my researching, and this is the idea of stochastic terrorism, which, of course, has been going on all of Trump's presidency. And, you know, it's it's acts of violence by random extremists triggered by political demagoguery.
Demagoguery, you've got it.
And using mass media to incite violence. It's statistically predictable, but individually unpredictable. So you have, you know, Trump getting people all whipped up for Charlottesville, right? It was very nonspecific. He didn't call them to do something specific. And, of course, it's always about hating a certain group, right? So you had him also then talking about Soros, you know, prominent Jew, paying for caravans of migrants to come in and you know, cause violence. And then you had the shooting at Tree of Life Synagogue and the shooting of Mexicans in El Paso. So you have these incitings of violence that aren't specific, but random. And that's what he continues to do with his rhetoric and with Q. It's very nonspecific, but it's always inciting violence. Always.
Right. I mean, in some ways it's logical. If you believe that Democrats and liberals, and one of the researchers said, these kind of groups like QAnon always have a target. And the target of QAnon is leading Democrats, liberals, progressives in the media, in Hollywood, in politics, anywhere they can find them. That's their target. That target might expand to liberals and progressives anywhere.
Well, it's racism, too. Yeah. Racism is at the heart of all of these.
So it is a danger, and for our liberal and progressive listeners, the target could very well become you, you know, or us. And right now they seem to be fixated on major figures who can sort of protect themselves.
Well, no, they were talking about this Q drop that I mentioned. Mm-hmm. They were talking about arresting small-town mayors all the way up to Pelosi. So it's everybody. They want everybody.
So where does QAnon go now? Right. Where does it exist? It's just on 8kun.
Oh, you mean the platform?
What platform do they have now?
Parler still for
it's
a hot
the primary one.
Go ahead.
The primary one is 8kun, but it's also on Parler. You'll also find it on Facebook and on YouTube.
And Telegram is still up there.
It's kind of disguised and spread out, and they're private groups. It's really, with the internet and with social media, it's really difficult to ban it and to control it.
Yeah, let's not forget email. We still have email. You're still using email.
Chain emails, yeah.
Yeah, that was originally where the really bad stuff was on these chain emails, the really vicious stuff that we saw in the early days of the internet being circulated was chain emails. And I don't know, riding a bicycle on a super highway at this point.
Where does Q go? Go ahead, Gary.
One of the things I'd like to point out that I think is at the heart of QAnon is that, you know, it's the whole sense of community, the sense of being persecuted, that they're the true patriots and everyone else is against them. But there's another thing, is this whole game-like aspect of it. I would refer to it as addictive behavior. It's conspiracy theories promoted by the right wing and social media are like a powerful drug. The more you engage in the theories, the more sensational the theories must be in order to get the same high.
Level up.
It's something that's psychological that is going to be very difficult to break.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think that's true. If you notice that you can't say, you know, I hate Hillary Clinton because she's for gay marriage. That just doesn't get you anything. You have to say, I hate Hillary Clinton because she's part of a satanic cult drinking children's blood. That activates this the darker side of the mind.
Because all of these really deep conspiracies are all based in some level of truth. There is pedophilia.
Yeah.
There is satanic ritual happening in America. So, you know, you just sensationalize and base it all in some little bit of fact.
I think the scholars, when I read in my research, are beginning to view Q more and more as a quasi-new religion. And I think that was the aspect you were referring to. the light, and Hava talked about the light and darkness, that they're the warriors of the light against the darkness.
And the ascension piece is, when you say religion, that's the piece that's the 5D, you know, ascending to 5D is kind of the heart of their religious fervor.
And what the what scholars are also saying, it sets up a system of absolute good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
Q people good, Democrats and liberals totally evil. They're child killing satanic monsters, right? It's a game. It's like a game, Gary, right? It's so immature, frankly, and so disassociated with ordinary reality, and yet it has all this power. But these, anyway, what I see from the scholars is this occult, and one of the aspects of it is this, the dark and the light that Hava's referred to are good and bad. There's not like we disagree about gay marriage should be legalized. It's these people are evil and we're good. It's a different energy. It's a different level of consciousness. Klaus? Or Gary?
Yeah,
I heard somebody.
slightly different thought. I wonder whether the people who are planning to do stuff on the 17th and on the 20th, I wonder whether they're influenced by the fact that so many of the rioters have been arrested and are now sitting in jail and are going to be charged with serious crimes. I wonder whether whether they might think twice about whether this is such a good idea.
That's never deterred anybody.
Because before that, there wasn't really any reaction.
These are mostly going to be slap on the wrist results from these charges. I think you're right. I mean, I would tend to agree with you. I think taking Donald Trump off of his Twitter feed, where he can rev things up, and shutting him down on Facebook and so forth and so on, I think it's going to cut some of the energy from whatever happens next.
I think
you'll see a more refined, more dedicated group. You'll see less people who just happen to listen to something and decide to show up.
That's a good.
I think it's taking some energy. So I sort of agree with you, Klaus. And I think Hava doesn't agree with me.
Well, the most dangerous part is not going away. You know what I mean? Like,
Agreed.
I mean, the whole, this is our president. He's been stolen from us. That's not going anywhere. So, I mean, I know personally people that are still, you know, preparing for the 20th. So it's not.
I think a lot depends on the penalties, and if we actually pursue responsibility. People like Cliven Bundy and his whole gang have gotten by with this stuff for so long,
and
Trump has gotten by with it, and his whole administration has gotten by with it for now 4 years. It all depends on if we actually impose some penalties.
Yeah, we're kind of out of time, guys, and I think that would be a whole show. I mean, they're very worried that with the Biden administration coming in, they'll actually enforce these laws in the national forest. Want to talk about Door, great sponsor of a show or supporter of the show. They're having a really interesting event. It's an online auction at their their annual meeting on January 17th. You can find all the information on what Door is doing on their website. And they've got the breakfasts that are up and running on Zoom, and the yearly celebration is coming in. It sounds interesting. It sounds good. El Portal has been very good in supporting us. If you want a dog-friendly place to stay, it is the most dog-friendly hotel in the universe, I think, for folks. So we do appreciate you being with us. Understand that we're still under COVID rules, where Hava and I are here in the studio. We can kind of see each other, but Gary and Klaus, we can't see. We don't know when they want to talk. So thank you for being with us.
We appreciate your
taking your time. Tune in next week. We'll be talking about something. The week after, we'll be doing criminal justice. We'll have a series of shows on criminal justice.
You've been listening. listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.